Welcome to Lagniappe, a news feature of KEDM Public Radio with information on issues and events. I'm Bob Lennox. Joining me by phone is co-host of NPR's All Things Considered, Michelle Norris, as we continue our conversation on her new book, The Grace of Silence, a Memoir. Michelle, you mentioned spending time between Birmingham and also in Minnesota where you grew up, getting to know your dad's side of the family. You experienced a greater bond there, almost like a communal love. Mm-hmm. How did that come about in spite of the surroundings at the time?
Well, you know, people had great ambitions and they created cocoons. It was a hard world. But when they returned to their home communities, they had control of the world that they lived in there. And everybody was in the same boat, rowing in the same direction. You didn't have the kind of socially bifurcated communities that you have today because, you know, under strict segregation, everybody had to live in the same neighborhood. So in the neighborhood I remember, the doctors and the ditch diggers lived in the same place. And they all had the same ambitions for their kids. They went to the same schools. They worshipped at the same churches. And there was just a sense that people really cared for. Like, I felt like I had one set of grandparents there, but I had lots of sort of surrogate grandparents that were always watching over me and making sure that I was safe in the neighborhood, that would get the word back to Grandma Fanny if I didn't comport myself the way I was supposed to when I was, you know, out. They didn't have cell phones then, but magically the news would get back home, you know, before I got back to the porch. It was just a different world. People said hello to each other. And it wasn't an empty greeting. If they asked, how you doing? They really wanted to know the answer. They sat on the porch and talked. It was just a different kind of community. And I kind of took it for granted. I didn't realize how much of Birmingham lived in me until I started working on this book and how fortunate I was to have that kind of experience. In some ways, you could argue that my family was underprivileged. At the time, they lived in, you know, simple life, working class life. We didn't want for anything, but it was a far cry from the very solidly middle class community that my parents moved into as the first black family in the south side of Minneapolis in a lovely two-story Tudor home. My father traveled quite a distance, but when I went back to Alabama, they did not have, they may not have had a lot of money, they may not have had a lot of material wealth, but they had a lot of something that sociologists would call social capital. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I benefited greatly from swimming in that.
Your father's travels, I have to ask you, it almost seems like the book transcends the issue of race by the human emotion. As you share seeing off your dad on a flight early on in the book, did you see it that way at the time with the emotion of seeing your dad really in the last coherent time that he was with you?
You know, I didn't see anything but my ailing father in that moment. I can look back now, and it's even hard for me to talk about that. I can look back now and see it from different vantage points, you know, in the way that you can look back at a scene in a kind of antiseptic way. But at the time, I knew he was slipping. I knew he was going. And you know, I write about a little experience he had. What we later discovered was a glioblastoma. He had a fast-growing brain tumor, and it affected his ability to speak. And there were women that were watching him. They were white women, and they mistook his attempts at speech as the effects of alcohol. And this is early in the day, so they were harumphing to themselves that someone was, you know, hitting the sauce that early in the day that they were drinking. And this was so my father was so troubled by this. And, you know, at the time, I just was so focused on trying to make sure that he was well and safe and getting home and going to get the medical care that he needs. And it was, you know, sort of one of those things you experience something and someone says something to you and you don't feel the sting until later when you understand what they really said. And over time, I realized that, you know, I heard what they said, but I just couldn't process it because I was just focused on Dad. And as I started to process it and realize not just what it meant for me, but what it meant for him, that it had to be, you know, one of his last experiences on this earth, added certainly to his humiliation, but it certainly added to the pain that I felt in looking back and trying to understand this. But it was, you know, I wrote this book despite the pain in looking back and researching and then finally putting the story on paper and now going out to talk about it. Because I think there are important lessons that we can draw from this story about overcoming, about dealing with hard knocks, about overcoming pain, and about passing on what's important, and what's important is knowing where we come from. I mean, we have a better sense of where we are going if we know where we come from. And I call this book The Grace of Silence because it represents my father's attitude in dealing with a painful period in his life and not burdening the next generation with all of his frustrations. But I want very much for the response to this book to be anything but silent. I hope The Grace of Silence sparks a lot of conversations. Traveling the country, I'm going to more than 30 cities to talk about the book. And I say to talk about the book, not just, you know, from a podium, but to actually talk to people about the book and about their experiences. I have a website. Part of the mission there is to capture the conversation. There's a place where people can share their stories. If they discover things about their own families that they didn't know, if they're recapturing their own family histories, or if they just want to share their thoughts on the book or on race or on this country's racial legacy, it's a place for that conversation to continue, because I want very much for that conversation to continue.
NPR's Michelle Norris, the book, The Grace of Silence. Michelle, congratulations on the book, and thank you for your story.
Thanks for having me.
You can hear this and other Lanyap podcasts by visiting the Listening Room online at kedm.org.